This episode of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast is brought to you by NAU Country Insurance Company, your crop insurance specialists, now offering industrial hemp crop hail protection. Contact your crop insurance agent to learn more or call 888-628-6724 or go to naucountry.com. NAU Country Insurance Company, your crop insurance specialists, now offering hail protection for your hemp. Hello, and welcome back to the show. For those of you keeping score at home, this is episode 34. Episode 34 of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. My name is Eric Herlock. And on today's show, we talk to the National Hemp Association's Executive Director, Erica McBride-Stark, about her recent trip to Washington, D.C., where she met with members of the Senate Ag Committee to talk about hemp. We'll also check in with Lancaster County hemp farmer Tom Colton, who shares his concerns about pollination drift and how that might affect CBD growers. Erica McBride-Stark, welcome back to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I understand that last week you went down to Washington, D.C. in your capacity as Executive Director of the National Hemp Association. What were you doing down there? Who did you meet with? What were you talking about?
Well, we were honored to be invited down to meet with the staff of the Senate Ag Committee, primarily the staff for the chairman, Senator Roberts, and the ranking member, Senator Stabenow. Okay. They were interested to hear our perspectives about how the implementation of the hemp provisions within the 2018 Farm Bill were rolling out. So obviously we did have quite a bit to contribute to that conversation. And it was very refreshing to see their staff be so knowledgeable about the subject and interested in making sure that we have the best rollout we can possibly have.
Okay. And now, in your opinion, how is the rollout going?
It's a combination of it's going well and frustratingly slow. Certainly, it's understandable the amount of time it's taking USDA to develop its rules and regulations. But what was primarily frustrating and is frustrating is that hemp farmers and businesses are still having problems with banking.
Right.
That was one of the main topics that we brought up, because we don't feel that it necessarily makes sense to have to wait for USDA to create its cultivation program in order for legitimate businesses to have the same kind of banking opportunities that every other legitimate business has. So we expressed a little bit of frustration in that front and encouraged them to see what they can do to expedite getting Treasury to issue banking guidance and to help smooth out that problem.
Okay. And they were receptive to those ideas?
Yes. And they were actually aware that there were still issues. So we're trying to get some meetings with the banking committees and things of that nature to try to move that along. We certainly don't want to wait until the fall to have to get that issue resolved.
Right.
So that was one of the main things that we talked about. Certainly, the other big issue that we brought up was importation. We're sort of concerned because we're hearing a lot of countries that are looking to pretty much flood the American market, both with biomass and processed CBD. You don't want to see that happen.
No.
I think it's right to expect American farmers and American businesses to compete with those markets when we don't even have full FDA regulation of CBD in this country for our own markets.
Right.
So we're seeking to have some sort of solution, whether that be a ban of importation for a period of time, whether that be tariffs that makes it unattractive to try to bring that stuff in, especially when it comes to biomass. We feel that that would undercut American farmers who are just looking to get into this space. And we also have some concerns about different pests and diseases that may come into the country via that biomass. We certainly don't want another situation like we had here in Pennsylvania with the spotted lantern fly, causing problems. I don't know if it's an issue or not, but we just feel like the American industry needs to get up and running and fully regulated before we want to see our markets flooded with foreign biomass and product.
Right. Now, it seems like, the current climate in Washington is, the administration loves tariffs and protecting American business, or how do you think the Trump administration would feel about this?
I don't pretend to speak for the Trump administration, but yeah, considering it, to me, it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
On a lot of different levels, especially when it comes to CBD products. How can we justify allowing this product to come in from overseas when it's not fully regulated here?
Right.
It's not only to protect the industry, but it's also to protect consumers. People that are bringing, and we sort of pointed out to them the loophole that people are doing to bring product in from other countries by basically using the tariff code for hemp oil, which is supposed to be pressed hemp seed oil and not extracted CBD oil, which there still is a lot of confusion about amongst government officials, what the difference is between real proper definition of hemp oil versus CBD extracts.
Right. Okay.
So that I think for biomass, there really is no tariff code currently for that, except for like actual stalk material that would be dried, but it wouldn't include the flower material. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that's going to all play out, but they actually, did seem receptive. And, on the one hand, the administration like wants a free market, but then on the other hand, like you said, the Trump administration seems to be okay with tariffs in other areas. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Now, how quickly do you think they could act on that, or how quickly do you think they need to act on that, before our harvest this year, or what's the time frame?
Anything with government is so hard to predict. It's invariably I'm always wrong. I don't know. I'm not even entirely certain what the next steps are. Certainly through other affiliations, there's been discussions with Customs and Border Protection and Homeland Security about the possibility of imposing some sort of, even if it's just a temporary ban for a period of a few years, or at least at the very bare minimum until FDA does regulate CBD.
Right.
So we're still in the very beginning phases of raising this issue. So I'm not at this moment in time entirely sure what next steps are.
Okay. All right. So there's the banking issues, there's the importation issues. What other questions did the Ag Commission have for you?
Surprisingly, they didn't ask us too many questions. They just really were interested in what our concerns were.
Okay.
And certainly I think they have a role to play in trying to make sure that the whole of government that is affected by this change is sort of working together. They've also been in communication with the National Associations of Department of Agriculture to get input from the state side.
Okay.
And certainly they were interested in CBD and the different nuances of it. And the federal crop insurance program was also something else that we talked about. We discussed the nuances of whether or not industrial hemp would have an impact on any farmers that were currently growing under the base crop program. Because on the one hand, you can argue that the Farm Bill sort of designated hemp as a specialty crop versus an actual commodity crop.
Okay.
But it seems like because hemp is not a fruit or a vegetable, that it shouldn't have a negative impact on farmers that are participating in that base crop program. So that's definitely good news on that front.
Okay.
And I just was thinking about something else that we talked about. Oh, we talked about the need and how getting to the point where we're researching if there's going to be any pesticides or herbicides that are approved for hemp cultivation.
Okay. Were you there, with the National Hemp Association solely, or were there other industry folks with you?
It was only us.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
Well, I did ask them, and at least thus far, we are the only grassroots organization that they have reached out to. They've been working, like I said, the National Association of Department of Agriculture and other stakeholders in that regard. So yes, we were very honored to be invited and given that opportunity to have our voices heard and represent our membership.
So getting back to the lack of financial services for hemp farmers here in Pennsylvania, what do you think the state could be doing here to help farmers on that front?
Well, they should be, at the very least, they should be issuing a guidance letter to all the state banks emphasizing the fact that the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill did remove industrial hemp from the Controlled Substances Act, and that there is no reason for banking services to be denied to hemp farmers or businesses. Right. It may not be effective, but it would at least be an effort.
Sure. So what are hemp farmers doing? Is there private funding, or are they just using their savings, or how are they surviving at this point without the financial services?
Well, not without the nuance. I mean, certainly if you are an existing farmer and you just got a hemp license and we're going to start growing it, you obviously would already have established banking accounts. And I don't know that there's anything that would cause a red flag for that.
Okay.
Now, opening a new account or a new business that has hemp in the name, that's a little bit more challenging.
Right.
And I think there are some banks that are willing to be accommodating, but it really is like a hit or miss kind of thing. And there's no assurances. And I've been contacted from several people, not only in Pennsylvania, but pretty much around the country, that are having issues opening new accounts.
Okay, that's Erica McBride Stark, Executive Director of the National Hemp Association. You can learn more about her organization at nationalhempassociation.org. All right, coming up next, we're going to check in with Lancaster County hemp farmer Tom Colton. Good morning, Tom Colton. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Eric Kurloff.
So, here it is. It's May 2019. This is what, your second or third year of growing hemp?
Second on this property, yes.
Okay. And what's happening in the field now? Do you have many plants in the ground? I guess I spoke to you, almost a month ago, and you were putting some seedlings out?
Yeah, we had 750 out, and they're actually doing really well. They've probably tripled in size, and they're really putting on foliage now and responding to fertilizer.
Okay, what are you using for fertilizer?
We're using our fish right now, and then I have some Fox Farm products that we're using as well. Not to throw a company out there, but we're also using some stuff from Fertrell, and then mainly just our beautiful Lancaster County soil to get us through, because that's really where we're really relying on what we have amended our fields with already and our cover cropping. So we're only addressing nutrient deficiencies that we're encountering, and that's all found out through tissue testing.
And have you put in more than the 750 seedlings?
Only a couple hundred more. We're still working ground for the major patch or the major plots, which will be 5 and up to 15. Well, one's 5 and one's about 14 acres. So, yeah.
Okay. Are you able to talk about who you're growing for?
I'm going to be, my one large plot will be for Floyd's, and then I'm also growing for a company working with out of Lancaster that is, we're developing some juice products and trying to find the right formulation to mix in with juice products, and also working on a couple of different grows that are just for smokable flour.
Okay.
That's kind of different, a little different. We're handling the plants a little different because they are going for, they're not going to be processed.
Okay.
They have to look visually appealing as well as, they have to be fire. So.
Right. So a lot of TLC.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, a lot more than we're used to. So
anything about the hemp planting or the starting of the seedlings that surprised you?
I mean, I'm pretty well versed, but in this year, we've had some pretty heavy rainfalls after planting that I was a little concerned about because, it's been said 100 times over on this show, they don't like wet feet, and that's true to an extent. So as long as you have proper drainage, like we have really great drained soil here. So, and with our tillage methods, we're able to encourage better drainage, and they haven't seemed to suffer any effects. I have them on plastic, so that helps from keeping dirt and disease from splashing up onto the understory of the plant. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm not encountering too many surprises this year yet. I've already gotten some, now that it's kind of out in the neighborhood. Last year, we were pretty secretive about, what we were doing here just because we didn't want too many neighbors confusing it with its cousins. So,
sure.
But now the cat's out of the bag with all the farmers. So it's nice to, this year we're getting a lot more, what can I say? Communication with the other half, like the conventional farmers are actually starting to talk to me more around here and ask poignant questions about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Okay.
Even some are asking whether, next year would be viable to come work with me. And it's kind of words that I never would thought be spoken.
Well, that's good. Hemp is bringing people together.
That's very true here in this county for sure. And I don't know if it was on this show, but supposedly there's over 80 grow sites here in the county. So
yeah, that's what the folks at PDA told me last week, that Lancaster County has the highest number of growing permits in the state.
Yeah. Yep. We run in tanks.
You had mentioned at one point some concerns about other hemp farms and, their pollen in the wind coming to visit your farm. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's a valid concern, I think, for any CBD grower here in Pennsylvania. I think at this juncture and having gone over with their wait-and-see approach that they're kind of waiting to see people, this is happening in other states. I've spoke with other growers in states where it's like the Wild West. Mm-hmm. It's pollen flying everywhere. And it's definitely become a problem in other states. I was hoping that we would take a more a harder line approach and maybe carve out some hard lines. But I understand that that's a little harder to do because, we're definitely not, a lot of us are investing comparable amounts of money into these grows that you could, a lot of the money we're putting up is comparable to the medical cannabis growers, not for the licensing, but definitely for equipment and materials.
Sure.
But we're not giving, but I don't think we're being taken as, I don't know, I guess maybe we're not putting enough tax dollars in the bank for them. So. Maybe our voices aren't being heard. I'm definitely going to address it around me, one way or the other, because I am going to protect my investment, come hell or high water. So whatever I have to do to protect it, I'm going to do it. Any pollen out there and you're within 5 miles of Silver Spring, Pennsylvania, I would definitely tuck your chain. But I think it's kind of unfair for them to let it up to us farmers to kind of sort it out. We have enough to worry about, and especially with, I'm a little ahead of the curve, but growers that this is new to, I guarantee that they're up to their elbows in work and just this new way of growing plants that they've never grown. And that's enough to worry about. And then they hear, oh, wait, this could all be ruined. It's a little discerning for some people. And especially for my plane friends that definitely won't make a fuss about this like I would. But I think it's a concern that really needs to be addressed before the end of the season. Because in Colorado, where it's, you know, flat, windy, dry, I mean, I've heard of grows being affected from 12 miles away. Oh, and wow. They say it can be up to 16. You know, and we do have fall or, you know, winds approaching pollination time around here that do whip across these valleys here. And there's not a lot of, I mean, we used to have tree lines around here that might have been able to catch some of that or, you know, but you're going to have pollen bombs flying all over the county around here. With some of these big acreages, and then you have smaller growers that have an acre or less, maybe even. Now, that could definitely affect it. I'm still in wait and see, but I'm not going to sit on my hands and just kind of hope and pray. I'm going to be speaking to the people around me that are growing fiber and seed. So I'm going to be talking to them. I'm setting up some meetings this week, hopefully. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be as kind as possible and just try to lay it out to them so they understand this is, you know, this is the potential of what could happen. And I mean, I've spoken to my lawyers about this, and we do have a leg to stand on if we make it apparent. So I don't want to have to go that route, but I'm, like I said, I'm going to protect my investment by any means necessary.
So what could other farmers be doing? Like, is it a timing issue?
It could be timing, but that's just why I put that on us already. We shouldn't have to worry about that.
So the issue there, for people who don't understand, is that you're growing female plants, but somebody who's growing for fiber or seed wouldn't care really what they're growing for. I mean, you know, they want males and females. So let's say your crop is affected by a, you know, a drift of pollen. By the time you notice, it would be way too late, right?
Absolutely. I'm not going to, I mean, chances are I'm not even going to be able to tell. It's yeah. not like I can put up like a pollen alarm out there. You know what I mean? But by the time I'm affected, it's too late. And the thing, I'm not worried about seeds. I'm worried about my THC levels spiking and me losing 20 acres of, you know, a crop that potentially could put my kids through college.
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
and my
sure.
kids are going to be pissed if they have to go to, you know, if they have to work their way through college. And, you know, I can harken back and be like, hey, thank this guy. He's the one that screwed you, you know? So then we have a Hatfield-McCoy situation, which I am really trying to avoid out here, because it could very easily turn into that shit. Like you brought up to me, it could definitely turn farmer against farmer. And I don't want that, but. Like I said, I'm going to protect my investment.
Them's fighting words.
It's just a stern warning that people need to pay attention more to what they're doing. I know this is a new endeavor for people, but I was listening to Radio Smart Talk yesterday and listened to somebody. They had a few quote unquote experts on there about growing hemp this year. And the one person who's a doctor was on there, and they were talking all about pollen, and they even brought up this point, but they didn't mention, oh, yeah, there's other farms around me that are growing CBD. I mean, they definitely acknowledged on air that what they were doing, but they only they did make the point that the only people that are protected by law are medical marijuana growers. You know, these lines don't apply to hemp at this juncture. So that's up to the powers that be to kind of lock that down, because it does lie on them. It shouldn't have to sit on the farmer's shoulders to make these kind of decisions, because we are up to our necks in work at this juncture of the year.
Yeah.
So we're not really focused on going out and having to play, you know, sheriff to protect your crops. As an organic grower, I've been doing this for years. You know, for my whole career, for the last 19 season of growing organic vegetables and organic crops on this farm. And I've never been so frightened, because, yeah, there's a huge, I had a lot of money on the line here. And I've invested a lot, so I'm very trepidatious, but you know, that's the nature of this game that we're in right now. It's kind of like they said, wait and see, but I don't know what to do, Eric, honestly.
Yeah. I'm curious what you're going to do myself.
Well, I mean, I've spoken, you know, what my options are, so I'm just going to let that play out when the time comes, because it's just, these are the things that need to be done, and we mitigate our, we make our choices in this world, and we have to live with them, so.
Right. And every hemp farmer in the county, in the state, is pretty much dealing with this. I mean, especially in Lancaster County, where there is such a high density. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I would not want to grow CBD in Montana, because there's just these huge mega acreages, you know, and now you're seeing like Oklahoma come online. Right. And there's just going to be pollen bombs. I mean, this pollen is very transferable. It's not, like corn, you worry, you know, maybe, you know, a mile, right? Because we, you know, we have to time our corn planting around here because we save our own corn seed. Okay. We grow a non-genetically modified corn for human consumption. Now, when I send that to the mill, they test that for GMOs. So if I go over a certain percentage, they flag that load, and I'm not allowed to sell it for my mill won't take it.
Okay.
It won't bring it in because it's a non-GMO mill.
Right.
So this is my concern, that even if they would take it, they'd be like, you know, it would definitely affect the quality of the flower that we're growing for premium smokable flower. That would shoot that in the foot.
Sure.
That whole crop's gone. So I really don't know how to approach it. I'm just going to approach it the way that I know how to, and then we'll let the cards fall where they fall, I guess. You know, it's the Wild West these days, kind of, and kind of, I think you got to leave it up to people that are vocal. And
so you're talking frontier justice.
I'm not talking frontier justice, but you know, I mean, I'm not the judge, jury, and executioner here, but I'm gonna give people options, and then if, you know, that's just, well, let the cards fall where they lie. You know, if I feel and my business partners feel that our crop is being affected, I'm going to take the necessary actions to protect it. I'm just going to say that.
All right. Well, let's leave it right there, Tom.
Thanks for letting me voice my concern.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. It's always good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you. Keep fighting the good fight, Eric Herlock.
Well, I don't know if I'm fighting a fight. I'm just trying to bring people together. Anyway, thank you all for listening to today's show. Thank you to Tom and Erica. All right, remember, if you've got questions, hemp-related or otherwise, you can reach me at podcast@lancasterfarming.com. One quick bit of local Pennsylvania hemp news. Friend of the show, Steve Groff, the cover crop guy, he has let us know that he will be holding monthly educational meetings at his farm in Lancaster County. He's going to focus on CBD hemp, how to plant CBD hemp. He's going to have demonstrations of cover crop rolling and no-till transplanting. And then he'll have seasonal topics every month through September. You can check out hempinnovators.com for more information. Okay, looking forward to some great stuff coming from Steve Groff. Okay, that just about does it for me. I am Eric Herlock, digital editor at Lancaster Farming. Hey, and if you're not a subscriber to the newspaper, you should consider it, because it's a really solid newspaper for agricultural news, plus all of the classifieds and auctions and all that stuff. You can check out lancasterfarming.com/podcastdeal. to look into subscribing. Okay, thank you all for listening. Until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper. Today's show is copyright 2019 by Lancaster Farming. Lancaster Farming is a member of the Steinman Communications family. Today's show was written, recorded, produced, and edited by yours truly, Eric Herlock. And any music you hear is courtesy of Tin Bird Shadow. Thank you.